All right. So good morning, everyone. Wow, it's good to be in the house of the Lord. We got a lot of folks need to pray for. Pray for Mr. Jesse and a lot of folks. And what a glorious morning so far. You know, baptism and honor a graduate. And so that's awesome. So we're going to be in Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 and 4. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 and 4. So let's pray. Father, we thank you as always, Lord, for the opportunity to come in and worship and learn from your word. Lord, teach us. So we desperately need to know how to live life. We desperately need you. We look to you for guidance, for comfort, for strength, courage. Lord, thank you for the baptisms. We do hope and expect more in the future. We trust you with souls being saved and folks being baptized. Lord, thank you for our graduate. And help me this morning, Father, with this message that you put on my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning is going to be a little different. I have a message for Harley this morning. So all you other guys can listen up and learn too. Is that good? You can definitely listen up and hopefully be blessed this morning. But we're going to think about Harley as we're going through our message this morning. It's just what God's put on my heart. So here we go. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 through 4. I'm in the English Standard Version this morning. Sorry. I'll switch around on you. Says, my son, do not forget my teachings, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Amen? Making it through 12 years of school involves facing some real challenges and some real fears. Right? You guys remember that? And as we can all testify as adults, making it through life will include continuous challenges and fears that we must meet head on. Amen? So this morning, I want us to look at three guidelines. Three biblical guidelines that help us succeed in life. Just take good notes, Harley. Right? The first one is, face your fears. Number two, forget your failures. Number three, follow your faith. And I'm going to say those again for those who are taking notes. Face your fears, forget your failures, and follow your faith. Now, one of the greatest threats to success is fear. And we all know what it feels like to be afraid or be fearful. But, everybody say but. But when fear immobilizes us and keeps us from doing what we're called to do, we are probably more than likely dominated by what the Bible says, the spirit of fear. And this kind of fear will paralyze us. It keeps us from doing those things that we need to do. It keeps us from doing those things that we should do and that we could do and that God is calling us to do. So the first guideline of success from the Bible is to face your fears. I hardly ever do a success motivational thing, but this is just what God's put on my heart for Harley and for whoever else that it may apply to. All right? So face your fears. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, For God did not give us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Now, the Bible's full of a lot of fear nots, right? You know, fear nots. I like this verse because it's written to a young man that perhaps was a little bit older than our graduate this morning. Timothy was a young pastor of the church of Ephesus. And the Apostle Paul was his mentor. And Paul was always trying to remind Timothy, don't let people intimidate you because of your young age. Paul encouraged Timothy in the first letter to have confidence in the Lord, to have confidence in Christ. You know, Timothy was a little scared. He was a little intimidated speaking up, especially the older people. Timothy lacked self-confidence. Okay, in the second letter to Timothy, Paul reminds him that whenever you're working for the Lord and this fearfulness comes over you, he was reminding him that that is not from God. Because we just read that God did not give us a spirit of fear, but a love and power and a sound mind. Now, when we all trusted Christ as our Savior, the Holy Spirit came in and lived inside of us. And the Holy Spirit is there to counsel us, to guide us, to make the Word of God come alive and minister us, become a rhema. But the Holy Spirit is also there to comfort and give us courage and to help eliminate or combat these fears that come up in life. Max Lucado, famous author, some of you have, you know, read some of his books, he said this. He said that fear, everybody listen, fear doesn't want you to make the journey to the mountaintop if he can rattle you enough. Fear will persuade you to take your eyes off the peaks and settle for a dull existence in the flatlands. Never ever heard that that new song now? It's called Fear is a Liar. Isn't that a great song? You watch the music video, it'll make you cry, man. I mean, it's very powerful. I was going to show it this morning, but it just didn't quite work out. Maybe I will in the future. Now, moving out from under the safety of family is fearful. Right, Shannon? I know you hadn't yet, but I'm talking to you too. Eventually, right? Anyone under 30, I'm talking to you now, right? Maybe living away from home is fearful. And you can be tricked by the enemy to be full of fear. The flip side of that coin is watching our loved ones move away, right? Far away, like Canada. Anyway, I'm not talking about me. But for you guys who don't know, our youngest son moved to Canada. Not our plan. But it's all working out great, though. God's good. But some of us understand how it feels to send a young person, our son or daughter, off in the military. Go away. Some of you have sent your kids off to college, out of town, out of state, way up in Athens or way down in wherever. Sometimes they find a new job and they go away. Sometimes they get married and decide to live somewhere else. That's fearful. As people do this, they move out these new adventures. Sometimes we have to go out not knowing if we're going to have friends or not. This is fearful. You can be afraid. But God said He did not give us a spirit of fear, right? We have to trust the Lord in these times. It's not easy, but we've all done it. Some of us are doing it right now. We have to trust the Lord. And we're all familiar with Proverbs 3, right? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. But in everything you do, what? Put God first and He will direct your paths, Harley. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Anytime you see that heart, most of the time it's talking about our soul. And you hear me tell a bit? The soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. So we got to trust the Lord with our mind. We got to trust the Lord with our thoughts that come in and out of our mind. We have to trust the Lord with our feelings, our emotions. We got to trust God. We got to make sure that our feelings and our emotions are lined up with the Word of God. And then our will, that's about what we decide to do. That's our behavior. You have to make sure that that lines up with the Word of God. We are called to be courageous. God expects us to trust Him as He works in our life and works through our life. So no matter where we go, who knows what plan God has for us and who you will be able to minister to as you move on in life. Joshua 1:7, we all know the verse. Be strong, Harley, and very courageous. Be careful to obey the law my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Amen? Can God use your life? Yes, He can. But we must be willing to face our fears. Saying yes to Jesus Christ on a secular college campus is courageous. It's courageous. You must be able to face the fear of being stereotyped. God's calling us to be courageous. Saying yes to a godly lifestyle and a different job, a difficult job, is courageous. By facing the fears of being ridiculed or rejected. Saying no to the drugs and the parties that you are invited to is courageous. Facing the fears of being alone or maybe an outcast. Staying in and working on a marriage that is at the end of its rope is courageous. Facing the fear of losing it all because of weather is courageous. My hat's off to you farmers, right? That's courage. So the first thing we need to do is we need to face our fears. So face your fears. Second thing we need to do is forget our failures. Forget our failures. Philippians 3:13-14 says this. Brothers, I do not consider that I have... This is Paul talking now. He's basically saying, don't think I have it all figured out, but one thing I do, this is what Paul says, so I forget what lies behind, and I strain forward to what lies ahead. I press on to the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now listen to Paul here. He makes two suggestions in this statement. He refuses to allow his failures to become destructive in his life. And he refuses to allow his failures to harass his journey to his goal. Paul's advice about being successful in life, one of the key things, he put his past behind him. And he determined to have a positive outlook on life. But everything that was in him was all about Christ. Paul knew deep down inside, his past did not equal his future. And I'll say that to you guys. Your past does not equal your future. Now, no need to be negative here, but there will be failures in your life. Right, guys? None of us are perfect. The only ones who never do anything wrong are the ones who never do anything. And I found that to be so true in life. It's not a matter if you fail, but it's a matter of when. And when we do fail, you must learn from it. Put your past behind you. We repent of our sins. We ask God to forgive us. We forget ourselves. We forgive ourselves, and we move on. We put it behind us. Everybody listen to this. You must never, ever allow failure to make us quit trying. You should never give up. Let me read this to you. And some of you are aware of the story, but I'm going to read it anyway. In the midst of World War II, Oxford University asked then Prime Minister Winston Churchill to address his commencement ceremonies. Dressed in his finest suit, he arrived at the auditorium where the service was to be held with his usual props. A cigar, a cane, and a top hat. As Churchill approached the podium, the crowd rose in appreciative applause. Standing there, looking very dignified, he settled the crowd down and asked them to be seated. Standing confidently before this crowd of great admirers, he removed his cigar, placed his top hat on the podium. Then Churchill gazed at his waiting audience that included some of the most noted scholars in the world. Now, this is in World War II. With an authoritative voice and a tone, he began with three words. He said, "Never give up." Several seconds passed without him saying another word. And finally, he repeated those same three words again. Harley, never give up. There was a deafening silence as Churchill reached for his hat, steadied himself with his cane, and left the platform. The commencement address was finished. Never give up. As you make a decision about the next chapter in your life, always remember to set your course with the guidance of Jesus Christ and those who care about you. Amen? And never give up. Don't give up. Don't give up on that unsaved family member. Don't give up on the husband that's not coming to church. Don't give up on the wayward child or grandchild. Don't give up on that steady or unsteady job that's here or maybe not. Don't give up on those crops in the ground. Don't give up on that empty checkbook. Don't give up on that spouse that's maybe out there for you. And don't give up on those health issues. Never, ever give up. Because God is on your side. If God is for you, then who will be against you? We are more than conquerors through Him who loves us. Greater is He that is us as He that's in the world. Amen. Isaiah 40:31, as we all know, says, "But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." So, number one is we must face our fears. Must forget our failures. And number three, must follow your faith. I love when Lori mentioned about all the pictures, you know. So, definitely, Harley, you've been raised in the faith. So follow your faith. Hebrews 12:1. Hebrews 12:1-3 says this. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against him, so that, everybody say so that, so that you may not grow weary and faint-hearted. The book of Hebrews is written to Christians who were struggling. And the reason they were struggling was because they were going through hard times. But the writer is encouraging us to not give up. Others have been victorious. Others have went away to college. Others have started new businesses. Others have had to start over. Others have been through divorce and remarried and have a beautiful relationship. Others have gone through these things, those great cloud of witnesses, and they are successful and God has blessed them. The Hebrew writer establishes that all runners need a reference point in a race. People in the spiritual race, people living this spiritual life that we call following Christ, Christ followers, we need a reference point. If you get out in the middle of nowhere and you get lost, one of the most important things you need to do is what? Not pull out your cell phone, but we need to make sure we know where north is. If we can find north, then we can, most of us can find our place. NASA did this. Y'all remember the story with Apollo 13 and NASA? And they had to come back into, you know, the orbit, and they had to burn the engine so many times. They had to cut down the computer, and the computer part of it was how they directed the ship. And so they had to keep their eyes on this little tiny spot out the window, which happened to be Earth. And so they were able to get back home safely because they kept their eye on their point of focus, their reference. As shown in the Apollo 13 movie, we need to keep our focus and keep our eyes on Jesus. Scripture reminds us time and time again to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. When we start looking off into other areas, into our problems and situations, we get confused. Anxiety starts kicking in, and we have all these different problems. For Christians, our reference point is Jesus Christ. Now, Harley and your other graduates and guys about to get married and all these different things, it's okay for you to be flexible in life. We need to from time to time. But when it comes to the true north of Jesus Christ and the Word of God and His teachings as our reference point, don't ever budge. I get an amen from you adults. Don't ever budge. Stay focused on Christ. It's easy to become distracted when we're out there, but we need to focus on Christ. Think about a four-legged stool. If you had a three-legged stool, it'd be kind of hard to keep balance. A let go of the, the dining room table on a two-legged stool. It's going to be interesting, right? So think about a four-legged stool, Harley, as you're moving out to wherever you're going to go. You might stay home for another 10 years. I don't know. We talk about focusing on Christ, letting Jesus be our reference point. Here's one way to do that, and I think mainly the only way, really. Think about the four-legged stool. So you got it now, right? Bible study, prayer time, worship, and fellowship with other believers. Okay? Focus on Christ through Bible study, personal Bible study or a couple Bible study, prayer time, worship time, and fellowship with other believers. Your greatest asset and success principle is to keep your eyes on Jesus the whole way, all the way, the whole journey that God's got for you. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Psalms 119, 105 says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Proverbs 16:9, which is our memory verse today. Everybody still memorizing the memory verses? Proverbs 16:9. "A man's heart plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps." Right? Remember, there are those who have gone before you, who are praying for you and supporting you. It's part of those great cloud of witnesses. Proverbs 3:1, I'll read it again, says, "My daughter, do not forget my teachings, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you, and bind them around your heart." Write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of both man and God. So remember, face your fears, forget your failures, and follow your faith. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we can trust you. Thank you, Lord, that you said you'd never leave us and never forsake us, never disown us, that you'll always be there for us. Sometimes we don't feel it. Well, we have the faith, Lord, that you deposited that seed of faith in us. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Lord, thank you for Harley. She graduates and moves on. Next chapter of life, we bless her. Thank you for Tammy, Lord, in the baptism. Tammy's family today. Father, there's here one today that would like to get saved and give their life to Christ for maybe the first time. Maybe you'd like to rededicate their life to Christ. During the song of invitation, I ask that they'll come down and talk to me. Be glad to pray with them. Maybe there's someone who'd like to get baptized. You never have been. You'd like to say, "Oh, I want to get baptized." Or maybe someone would like to join the church this morning. That's awesome, too. We just pray for these. We trust you, God. Holy Spirit, you guide and direct. In Jesus' name, amen.